Welcome to the Bank Marketing Show, the podcast that engages and informs you for success in today's marketplace. It's the show that will make you a better marketer with trends, tactics, and inspiration from experts and industry leaders. If you're wanting to impact your personal success and position your bank as the best choice in your market, you're in the right place. Now let's dive into today's show with your hosts, Chris and Dan.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Bank Marketing Show. We're sure excited to have you with us today and are very excited about our guest and some really juicy stuff to have marketing and bank folks thinking hard about. So I'll leave it in suspense and at that point and hand it off to you, Dan. Good to see you.
Yeah. Hey, Chris. Good to see you as well. And also, Eric, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. And I'm excited. We're going to get juicy today. So I'm really excited about that intro.
Hopefully by the end of this, we all have new nicknames. So we'll see where we get. But today we've got on the podcast, Eric Cook, who been running a bank marketing agency for maybe 15 years.
Yeah, 2007. Right? 2007. Time flies. Holy smokes.
So we'll get into bank marketing stuff, but Eric's also been building a community for bankers called the Linked Banker, and a way for bankers to build their personal brands, advance their careers. So we've had some guests on recently in that career advancement mode. So we're excited to kind of talk more about that and how you can build your personal brand. Learn more about the craft from other bankers out there struggling with the same issues and join the community. So, yeah, like I said, Eric's been running a marketing agency for banks for about 15 years. Running the Linked Banker for how long has that been?
Well, I had the idea in 2018, but I didn't launch it until towards the end of 2020, and we'll probably get into that. But yeah, it's been going now for a little over 2 years.
Cool. All right. So at your current agency with WSI Digital, you're also a pretty prolific speaker. I've run into you a few times on the speaking circuit. I think we both spoke at a conference in Illinois a couple years ago.
Yeah.
If I'm remembering stuff correctly.
Yeah.
And I know we ran into each other at the ABA Marketing Conference in Denver. And so anything I left out on the bio?
Dog father to two amazing golden retrievers. Can't leave my wife out. Avid cyclist, probably with a little bit of a borderline addiction. I would admit I'm of the how many bikes is enough, and the answer is N plus one. So if you got into just my garage, it looked like a bike store. So, but other than that, yeah.
Well, tell us a little about the Linked Banker, and you said launched at the end of 2020, but like, How did the idea come about? And
absolutely. So just kind of a little backstory. My father was a banker for 33 years, and I'm one of those accidental bankers. I didn't really intend to go into banking. I graduated from college, took a job that didn't turn out so well with a guy that turned out to not be so nice, and realized the whole world doesn't exist like the little town that I grew up in. So I came home with somewhat of a tail between the legs and decided I would just go to the bank and do something there until I could find what I really wanted to do. And that was 15 years of a really great career that I was so fortunate that it turned out that way. But one of the things that kind of leads to the concept of the Linked Banker is my father, because I was old enough to actually accept advice from my parents at that point, but he had said, you're going to realize if you're going to make anything of yourself in this industry, people need to see you as their banker, not just somebody that works in the bank. Because of the value of personal relationships, and people will call you or call you at home, which they did. I have no idea why your ATM card didn't work at the grocery store on Sunday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, but I can check into that for you first thing tomorrow morning when I get to the office. But the concept of being that banker, and for those of you that are listening that have been in banking long enough, that used to be you are involved in things like Rotary and Exchange Club, and you volunteer at the Chamber of Commerce, and maybe you sit in on a city council board, or you volunteer for the hospital auction. But that's how we got to be known and liked and trusted as individuals in the banking space. And when you participate in those, you don't always come right out and start talking mortgage rates and CD rates, but you're there as a participant, somebody that gets to know you as the guy that likes to mountain bike and listen to heavy metal and has got two golden retrievers. And then, oh, by the way, if you want to know something about banking, you can also bounce ideas off of me as well. And so it's that concept that sparked a speaking, career or passion of mine. Because right about the time I left the bank in 2007, this thing called social media started happening. And it was a lot of banks wondering, should they be involved? Should they not be involved? And I started seeing some correlation about, this is a great way to be able to convey. I mean, I built the bank's first website back in 1995 because I had an inkling that being present as part of AOL, which was even beyond that,
this whole internet thing might take off.
The information superhighway is what it was called back then. But didn't really see that the community concept of it would really go as far as it has. But social media came along, and I was fortunate to be in somewhat of a unique position where I had spent 15 years as a banker, and now I just opened a digital agency, and I've been building websites since 95. So it got me opportunities in front of a lot of state banking associations, got to be on faculty at a couple of banking schools now. I think I got a half a dozen of them that I'm part of faculty on, and just preaching the importance of going out there and sharing content, not rates and fees and products and advertising stuff, but the human side of things. Going back to what my father said, how can you demonstrate that you are their banker, a human being, somebody that they want to know and like and trust, versus somebody that's just reposting the latest CD offer or a mortgage special? And so during that speaking and teaching, I was lucky to have a lot of bankers come up and go, you know, the light bulb went off. I now know what the heck hashtag is, or I now understand why LinkedIn is more than just a resume farm. And, you know, you've convinced me, I'm going to set one up, I'm going to get it, you know, and they went away excited. But we all know what happens with conferences. I mean, you and I probably experienced that from the ABA Bank Marketing. I just came back from the Financial Brand Forum. Not everything that you hear that you're like, oh, this is totally going to be me, ends up happening, because there's a lot of stuff that pulls you back into your routine. And that is unfortunately largely the case with a lot of the bankers that I had met over the years, that I would see them at another event down the road. Or, you know, they'd come back for their next year of school and I'd be like, so how's it going? Yeah, it was really good for like the first month. And then, you know, nobody really gets it at the bank and just kind of lost steam. So I attended a conference out in San Diego called Social Media Marketing World from Social Media Examiner. There's a guy who did a keynote closing by the name of Pat Flynn. And one of his final messages was, you know, the riches are in the niches, and who is it that you are best put on this planet to serve and really take care of and inspire? And that's really where you need to double down and go all in. And I was sitting in the crowd and I had the epiphany and I'm like, holy crap, that's got to be banks. And at the time, our agency was doing some stuff for other businesses. We weren't solely focused, merged into a new word. I do that a lot. I wasn't solely focused on the banking space, but at that point I said, you know what? We're done trying to take care of anybody else that might need digital marketing stuff. It's banks or nothing. And we made that decision on the flight on the way home. I did a mind map. The name, the linked banker, came to me. I actually registered the domain on Delta using Delta Wi-Fi. Probably wasn't the best security thing for me to be sharing my credit card on unsecured Delta Wi-Fi, but I did it and came home. Had this idea, then it sat for almost 2 years because it wasn't ever the right time. Kind of like the story you were sharing before we punched record about wanting to do a podcast and it's never the right time. And then along came COVID. Yeah. And the pandemic hit, and everybody that was used to doing business the old-fashioned way now all of a sudden had to figure out how they're going to digitize their business, including banks. And people that knew that I had this idea for the Link Banker, I would say gently, but some of them not so gently, would say things like, wouldn't it be nice to have that Link Banker community in place now? And I'm like, yeah, I get it. So finally, I got off my butt and made it happen. And so the Link Banker was formed. And the Link Banker is a completely separate entity outside of the WSI Digital, which is a community that we've developed specifically to help individual bankers build their personal brand and connect and engage with the communities, the customers, the prospects that they want to serve. Exactly what Charlie Cook had said, be their banker, not just somebody that works at the bank. And so we've developed a pretty awesome, I think, community. We're using a platform called circle.so, which is like our own private Facebook that we pay for. So we don't have to worry about going into a Facebook group and then Zuckerberg determining that he wants to monetize or use that data in some other way. So it's totally controlled by us. The linkbanker.com has got a lot of information on it in our media section, some of the other podcasts that I've been on, our quarterly digests of things that we talk about. But members that are part of the community get direct access to me. We've got a private Telegram chat channel that we've created. So we've got our own little back channel that we can use, which is kind of fun. We've got our community that you can log into. Everybody's got the opportunity to create a profile, much like you do in a Facebook profile or a LinkedIn profile. We've got different sections and different areas, we call them spaces, inside of that community where we've got a learning center. Every month, the third Wednesday of the month, we go live with what we refer to as an M&M or a monthly mastermind session. And so our monthly mastermind sessions are at least 60 minutes. They're either a topic, a conversation, a guest speaker. We had a couple of months ago, one of the authors for the new book, Think Like a Brand, Not a Bank. So Liz joined us for that conversation, and that was amazing. Everybody enjoyed that. We talked about Web3 and NFTs and all this other metaverse stuff. But really, it's what our community wants to talk about. And those mastermind sessions are recorded, made available. So regardless of when you join the Linked Banker as a community member, you get access to everything. So that repository of knowledge just continues to build and get bigger and bigger and bigger. Little take five, we call them Banker on the Brains, where some idea pops into my head about, it would be nice for bankers to know how to do this. I take it for granted, but a lot of my banking friends always joke about, you know, well, what apps are you using now? Or what platforms, you know, what note-taking tools or what things are you, you know, I'm a little bit of a digital squirrel chaser, fully admit it. And so when I come across stuff like that, I'm now creating those through a Loom video and just saving them into that take five area so that people have got, you know, if you want to know how to create a UTM tagged QR code to track scans in Google Analytics, boom, here's a 5-minute tutorial that'll show you exactly how I do it for you to be able to do it yourself. And so being able to just do that to provide value is really the reason I love teaching and I love speaking, because I get up there and I give everything away. I tell you everything that I know. And like you guys with the podcast, and I'm sure the way that you run your business, I'm not worried about giving people so much information that they're not going to want to hire me, that I'm going to talk myself out of the business. You can get blueprints for houses, but you still need a builder to build it for you, unless you, and there's going to be some that are going to want to do it themselves. And if I can empower them to do that, then there may be something else that they'll need me for down the road. So I think philosophically, the fact that you've got a podcast and you're sharing information and being transparent with what you know, there's a lot of synergies there between your approach and my approach. I just want bankers to understand how to do better and be relevant and not fall victim to having to sell and to not be present any longer. Because I think the community bank space is definitely needed. The pandemic and PPP is evident of that. There's small businesses across the country that wouldn't simply exist if it wasn't for the community banks stepping up to the plate, because the big banks really didn't give a rip, which is sad. And I think it's good that that happened in some ways, because people are now realizing that, you know, community banks really do care and make a difference. And I just want to figure out how together we can all empower them to do even better and not get left behind. And I'm starting at the individual banker level and hoping that implements change throughout the organization.
Eric, I'm interested. Obviously, structurally with linked bank, with the linked banker. Sure. You've built and are building and expanding an amazing community there and set of resources. And, you know, like you said, you're a tech nerd too. Platforms there and all of that, which is, man, what an awesome thing and resource for bankers, bank marketers in particular, to be able to go to and find information that is not just about their entity or the industry, but it is about their personal brand. So that's what I'm interested in a little bit, because you've got me hooked. You know, I watched my dad. My dad was very successful in the insurance and kind of related to banking industry and a lot of that. And I watched him and his generation, and in my younger years. And everybody had my doctor, my lawyer, my CPA, my banker.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's no fun now. Those of you that are listening and not on video, I'm showing my phone, but this is not my banker. You know, this whatever 4-inch screen is not my banker. So I love that you're building that and looking at how that personal brand can be built. So tell us a little bit more about the why. Why should a listener to our podcast today care so much about personal brand and being out there as, you know, wanting to be lots of people to say, that's my banker?
Yeah. Well, I mean, think in any business, and granted, I do a lot of shopping on Amazon and there's no human being behind that, but there is an emotional connection from an Amazon perspective for me that also plays into probably a longer version of the story of why I decided to leave the bank. But a dear friend of mine who I met through the Graduate School of Banking had a daughter that unfortunately attracted neuroblastoma, a rare child cancer that ended up taking her life after 4 years, and she passed when she was dying. And I got the good fortune to be Christie's webmaster for all 4 of those years while she battled cancer. And this was one of the evidential reasons why I thought this technology is a way to connect people, because before Blogger, before social media, you know, this was before I even left the bank, I was going in manually and updating a website for Christie with information. And I started seeing people from literally around the world when the attention was, we just want to make sure that her family knows what's going on. And when she passed away and we created a foundation and that was released within 60 seconds of us updating the homepage on Christie's website, we got her very first donation from Germany for $200. And this is a little girl that battled cancer in rural Ohio and since went to Philly and was treated at CHOP and passed away. And that was just like one of those holy crap moments. Like, this little 9-year-old has impacted people literally from around the world through this thing called a website, and then evolved into social media and whatnot. And so that was like the people can make a difference and people want to understand the story and they want to know what's going on behind the scenes. And whether you're B2B or B2C, one of the comments that was made at the Financial Brand Forum is H to H. It's human to human. And so even though there's not a human connection to Amazon, I feel like I have that connection with Christie because I use smile.amazon, and I know a portion of that is being allocated for my transactions to the Children's Neuroblastoma Cancer Foundation, which is the nonprofit. So I have a human connection to Amazon because of that. But in other areas, you know, like you said, your CPA, your banker, although I don't need one, your barber, those of you in video, I'm a little follically challenged, although that's by my intent. I keep telling people that I could grow it if I wanted to. I just choose not to.
Yeah, but we've all got the facial hair going on the podcast.
Exactly, exactly. So I grow it here. I just don't grow it here. But in all of those instances, the businesses that you go to and feel the most connected to, you know, the local hardware store when I was growing up, I would prefer to go to Herman's Hardware and see Paul and just shoot the breeze with him and go, by the way, I need this little whoopty diggy thing or whatever, and I don't know what it's called. You're not necessarily going to be able to guarantee you're going to get that at a Home Depot or a Lowe's, but I know I'm going to get that from Paul. I know I'm going to get that from other businesses where I've developed that human connection. And I think if you don't realize that and take it, I don't want to say to the next level, but if you don't realize that and put forth the effort to really try to be that human being that connects with another human, as opposed to feeling like in the banking world, we're oftentimes so trained and we're compliance scared and we can't say stuff and we got to worry. I'm not saying violate your policies and your procedures, but I'm also saying don't resist being your own person and letting people get to know who you are. And social media provides that. Now, on the other side of my mouth, I'll say that there are probably some more traditional folks that, you know, I don't want people to know that I've got two golden retrievers, and I don't want people to see pictures of my wife, and I don't want people to know that I bought a new pontoon boat 2 years ago, because that's private to me, and that's fine. But there is a segment there that if you let them in and they get to know you, it's going to make that relationship that much stronger. If a mistake does happen, they're going to be much less apt to go, oh, psh, that's just so-and-so, and I'll move on to the next one, versus I really like Garrick and kind of give him a second chance. And you can't abuse that, but you want to make sure you've got something with a little bit more connection between you and your clients. And it's not going to be your rates and your fees. Another great quote that I heard somebody say at the financial brand is, don't ever try to outbank your competition by just doing banking better, because that's not an easy long-term strategy. Somebody's going to come out with the coolest, newest banking service. You got to have the relationship. That's why personalization is becoming so important, and taking the data and knowing who your customers are and being able to be that banker, not just a cog in the banking system that provides great service and always answers your phone and responds to your email and calls you by name. But what else is it that's above and beyond that, that's really going to make you that person that's indispensable?
No, it's interesting. I mean, we talk a lot of, I talk a lot with my clients about, hey, look, you can't just put an ad out and say, we have the best banking, or we, you know, a lot of our like smaller community banks might be launching online account opening. Like, oh, let's run an ad. I'm like, nobody cares. Right. Like every other bank has had that.
It's you and everybody else.
You have it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's important that you have it now, but like, that's not what you should advertise with. It's going to make you seem dodgy and old. But that human connection, right, would outdo that. If you can form human connections, you're going to attract people that's important to. And the online account opening may still be useful, but becomes a lot less important. The details become less important. So, how does that, taking that back to like the link banker, like, you know, how would a banker interested in sort of making more of a human connection out with the, you know, the world kind of learn from the platform? And,
you know, some of what we've done, I mean, we typically will go into the new year with some sort of a planning session. And for December's M&M, I'm really excited that James Robert Lay from the Digital Growth Institute, he also hosts Banking on Digital Growth podcast and his book, Banking on Digital Growth. He's going to come on and we're going to walk through an exercise to address a lot of that stuff. But even in years past, what we've done is we've talked to our bankers about the concept of a persona and saying, okay, let's figure out, you know, who is it that you're really trying to influence? Because the unique part about the Link Banker is not only do we have bankers from different geographic areas, but they're from different size banks. We've got some $20 billion banks that are in there with employees that are just managing a little region or multiple people. And we've got some that are from really small community banks where they're kind of running the show. And we've got different areas of the bank. So commercial lenders, marketing directors, CEO, retired CFO, branch managers. And each one of them is going to have a different audience that they want to influence. If it's a CEO, who's your audience? Well, you're probably not out there selling loans and connecting with businesses and want them to finance, but you're the one that's responsible for conveying the personality and the culture of the organization. And how do you convey that when you're sharing content on social media, when you're posting articles, when you're commenting on other people? And where are those people hanging out? they may be hanging out more so over on Facebook as consumers versus LinkedIn. They might be playing around on Instagram. So we talk about not just the personas of who you want to influence and what they're interested in and what questions they have and what's keeping them up at night. So you can think about the types of things to be talking about, but where are they swimming? If they're fish and you're fishing, you know, where are you going to take that boat? Because you could have all the great content in the world if nobody's there that matches your audience. Now, for a lot of the people in the Linked Banker, it happens to be LinkedIn. So the word Linked Banker and LinkedIn are kind of a playoff of one another. Certainly don't want to get into copyright issues with my friends at LinkedIn. So I got to be careful how I phrase that. But a majority of people are building their business connections there. And we just talk about, okay, when you're sharing information, is it that regurgitated stuff that the bank's compliance department kicks out and says, hey, repost this from the bank's page because it's a promo or an ad or whatever? Or are you really diving a little bit deeper and sharing a thought, sharing something personal? We did for the month of October, a 30-day challenge where we challenged members, and we had a couple people that bit and jumped in, but using the hashtag LinkBanker30, posting something on a regular basis. The goal was every day. I think I did 25, 26 of the days, but picking a topic that doesn't really have anything per se to do with the bank, but just something that will allow somebody to read and get to know you a little bit better. What your thought process is, how you approach a challenge, an accomplishment, you know, just some sort of a human element. And the ones that actually participated in that were really surprised at the conversations and the connections and the visibility that they were able to muster as a result of them getting into more of a habit of stepping a little bit outside of their comfort zone and sharing information that is more on the human side. And so I'm hoping that that in some way answered your question.
No, I mean, I see that too, of just talking about people, talking about things that make you convey emotion or make you a little bit more vulnerable, like go a lot further on LinkedIn and, you know, help people grow their exposures.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Eric, can you, to take that a little further, maybe give us an example of some of your Linked Banker community folks, and maybe an example, you can change the name and the face, so to speak, but that's done that really well. Because some of our listeners today, you know, you mentioned it about you and your boat and your golden retrievers and those types of things, but where is the transparency to who I am as a human, beneficial, insightful, you know, inviting and engaging versus TMI or not enough, you know, right. And it is, you know, it's that I like to wear blue ties instead of red ties or whatever. Well, that ain't personal. Nobody cares, you know,
exactly.
But I'm a dog guy. We got four of them at home. One of them's a golden retriever. So you say that and boom, I mean, there's a whole conversation we can have around that. So give us maybe, you know, an example or two of some that are doing that well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'll give one example just jumps right into my head, and I'll mention him by name. I know he won't care. Actually, a couple. One I won't mention by name, but John, I'll totally call him out. So John Marshall, one of our early members with the Linked Banker, he is a retired CFO, tremendous amount of experience across the industry and throughout his career. He actually participated in a 30-day challenge with another consultant, another LinkedIn advisor out there, and thought that it was really good and got him a little bit outside of the box. So he was kind of the inspiration for us to do the Linked Banker 30 in the month of October. But when John joined the Linked Banker, and John, when you listen to this, hopefully I do you justice, but older gentleman, self-professed, not a technology fan, you know, kind of like, I don't get this. I'm an old school kind of CFO. This technology came along after I was kind of on the tail end of my career and, you know, always was very kind, but also somewhat self-deprecating in his capabilities of being able to master technology. Like, oh, I don't, I'm, yeah, that's too complex. And I knew he had it in him. And then he went through this 30-day challenge, and I started noticing he's posting pictures, he's sharing information. One of the photos, he looks like Jerry Garcia from The Grateful Dead because he's got a tie-dye shirt and a do-rag on, and he's out working, doing some gardening. But he had some information around that picture that the photo drew you in. And then he told a story about, you know, his passion or his grandchildren or a challenge that he had when he sold the bank or had to fire employees, and how that really sucks when you have to do that, because sometimes you're saying goodbye to friends and it's not easy for anybody. But then you read that and you're like, I'm not the only one. That's really cool. But the photos that he selected and the stories that he told, he will admit to being a storyteller. And I'm excited that part of being involved, I think, in the Link Banker community has helped him tell that story. And I know there's a lot of people out there, when I see his posts, that are engaging and following and commenting. And, you know, I ask him every once in a while, I mean, is your goal to, do you want to get a CFO job and go back in the bank? And he's like, oh, heavens no, you know, but little consulting gigs here and there. But I think he's just enjoying being able to demonstrate subject matter expertise and then passing along the information that he's been able to amass over the 20, 30 plus years that he's been in the banking space.
Okay.
So that's been really cool. So John Marshall, I would encourage you to go out and take a peek at him. There's another individual who came on board and was also somewhat timid and found her voice. And long story short, through some of the racial and women challenge and ethnic inequalities that are out there today, has found an opportunity to really be a beacon and to stand up for herself and for her culture. And got an email from her just a little bit ago that she's secured a new position with a new bank that is really kind of put her over the moon. She's super excited. And I literally got goosebumps when I read that, because I don't want to say it was because of the Link Banker, but a lot of what we talk about and the visibility she wasn't doing before. And I like to think that the inspiration was there to allow her to maybe expand and share her voice, which got her on the radar screen for some people. And now she's got this tremendous opportunity to really take it to the next level. And I'm just super, super proud of her. And that's been just really nice. And then I'd say probably the third example, which was a little more internal, a marketing gal, younger, struggling, CEO doesn't really get marketing. So now I'm frustrated because I can't really do what I want to do in the bank. CEO, older, approaching retirement, kind of detected that there was that frustration, and they reached out outside of the Link Banker hours and had some conversations. And basically the CEO banker almost turned into a father figure and explained what was going on so that she had a better concept of what's likely going through the head of the CEO. Because not all CEOs out there have had the light bulb moment of the importance of things like marketing and technology. They come up through the lending and the credit side and they think that's where the world starts and ends, not really fully appreciating the power. The marketing isn't an expense, it's an asset. It's a revenue producing opportunity that really should be embraced. And that just hadn't gotten seen. And afterwards, both of them sent me notes. So it was such a joy to chat with her. And I felt like I got her over the hump. And the other one was, I so enjoyed chatting with him because now I have a better appreciation for where the CEO is coming from. And I can kind of tailor my conversations a little better to make them more CEO specific. And that's the type of stuff where I just get out of the way and let the community do their thing. That's when the real magic happens. And that nobody knows about because it wasn't happening on social media. It wasn't through a post, but it was the power of the community that put those two people together to help each other. And that was pretty cool.
That's really cool. Yeah. One of the things about just about community banking in general is like, right, it's, banks are in smaller towns for the most part, like very spread out.
Yeah.
And don't want to like go to the bank you know, across the street to learn this stuff from. So I think LinkedIn and just social media in general, there's are great stories of how you can kind of bring people trying to solve the same problems, trying to like learn the same stuff from, you know, across the country together.
The one item that I don't want to leave a cliffhanger on, because I know I said I wanted to come back to this, but I haven't done that yet. And if anybody listens to the podcast and I don't do that, they're going to be like, what was it? The one thing that I've heard, not as much lately, but in the early days, when we start talking about being the banker, not just somebody that works at the bank, traditional senior management sometimes gets intimidated. I don't know if you guys have had this experience in your workings, but senior management gets intimidated. And I've even heard people say, well, and I don't want Dan to be a rock star on LinkedIn, because then all of a sudden all the other banks are going to start noticing Dan, and he's going to get offers, and then Dan's going to get poached, and he's going to take all of his clients with him because Dan's figured out a way to make his clients fall in love with him. And they almost become defensive about the suggestion of making Dan a rock star and having his clients fall in love with him, and then figuring out how you can build the culture around Dan as an organization so that Dan, regardless of what you're going to throw at me, I don't want to leave XYZ Community Bank because I love it here. The CEO appreciates me. My customers love me. I got the tools that I need. That's a somewhat challenging mindset for a lot of older senior executives that are intimidated by this technology and the transparency and availability of people in today's day and age. And I just want to throw that out there and own it. And that comes with a lot of talking and consulting and learning and sharing just to make sure people know what's going on. But at the end of the day, if people are going to leave you, they're going to leave you. You need to figure out how can you build that environment where people don't want to leave you. Now, if I double Dan's salary, maybe that's something you just can't fight with culture and warm fuzzies. But there's probably a lot of stuff that senior executives can do to make that environment one that is fostering a sense of community inside the bank that, you know, I just wouldn't want to leave. I could have left and gone somewhere else and made more money, but my dad and I were building something really special. And to me, that was more important than going off and getting a bigger paycheck and more zeros and all this other stuff.
Yeah. Eric, you know, here we are as we record this at the tail end of football season. So it's the same kind of approach that some of these colleges might take of, we don't want to hire this rock star coach who can turn our program around and is a great offensive mind and all that kind of stuff, because we're going to bring him in, he's going to build us up, and then somebody's going to hire him away.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the option is to, what are you going to do? Yeah. Hire somebody that's,
You got a bunch of bozo lobsters juveniles on LinkedIn. You know, is that what you want? Probably.
Right. So. So I think it's that stagnated, you know, mentality sometimes. So or here's another way to look at this. What if you bring Dan into the bank? See, Dan, we're picking on you. What if you bring Dan in? Dan becomes this rock star, you know, through LinkedIn and the system that you're talking about and so on and so forth. And what if Dan becomes contagious to other people in the bank to do the same thing? And all of a sudden you've got this whole team of rock stars.
You just looked at the glasses half full. I'm like trying to Google it here because there's a quote of like, and what I'm finding it attributable, it says Henry Ford said it, but like, there's an old quote of, you know, what if we train our people and they leave, you know, but the flip side is like, what if we don't and they stay?
Yeah.
And it's the same kind of thing of like, you know, if you're scared of that, take a look at the, you know, like you said, Eric, foster that community where people should want to go out and, you know, and make good connections, and that's going to help the bank. And yes, some people will leave, but if you want to keep them, you know, maybe not double their salary, but make it hard for them to leave.
Absolutely.
In a good way.
Absolutely. And I'm not saying that LinkedIn, everybody has to go all in on that, or social media for that matter. There's a lot of banks, newspaper advertising works great. And, you know, but it's in that, you know, but those are exceptions, not the rule. And you can't get away from the traditional, now that we're able to, a handshake, a look in the eye, a conversation over a cup of coffee, or banter at a cocktail party at a chamber mixer, but there's more opportunities being developed and available to us every day through these digital channels that if you're not comfortable there as well, not in spite of or in replacement of, you're going to miss out on opportunities. And those are going to go to others.
I've had a few clients, you know, we work with them on LinkedIn and social media strategy, talk about, hey, I just go and post and I'm not doing promotional stuff. I'm just going on and telling my story or sharing my thoughts or how I approach a problem. And you never know who's going to reach out and say, oh, you work at a bank. You know, I need a loan or this, my friend needs a loan. And you know, I had one client tell me they got all kinds of referrals in just on posts that had nothing to do with banking. But people you haven't talked to in years will see your, you know, see your title.
Absolutely.
You know, Eric, one of the platforms that Dan and I, and we've talked about this a lot in past episodes, one of the platforms that we stand on a lot with our clients is encouraging them to stand on their, figure out what their superpower is, and then stand on it, promote it, go there. So it's a little bit the same mentality as niching, but, you know, it's what is it that you're best at? You know, is it ag, because that's the communities that you're in, so you're doing that kind of business, or whatever the case may be, and whatever that superpower is. So I think largely to your points, Eric, if you aren't telling stories and building personal brands and all that, then it doesn't give you the opportunities to talk about how you whatever impact it. So if you're an ag, you know, institution. And so, you know, this happening that you did in this business that you did with a farm that turned things around or whatever, or helped them take it to the next level or whatever the case may be in your particular, within your superpower.
Yeah. Right.
So that's one of the many reasons that I love what it is that you're doing here. In the community.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, the book by Allison Netzer and Liz High, the Think Like a Brand, Not a Bank, they talk a lot about that, of figuring out who is it that you want to serve. And if you try to be all things to everybody, you're going to be a tagline to no one. And community banks, I think, are of the pressure that we got to serve everybody, we got to do everything. But you can find out what you do really, really well and do that and still be able to serve other people. It's not like you're going to turn people away at the door, but really double down on what your superpower is. That was the epiphany that I had when I heard Pat speak. We have done some non-bank projects. It's been very minuscule, but it's not been a strategic priority of ours to serve all people. We've been very diligent and deliberate in our, we take care of banks. And every once in a while, somebody will come along and, you know, maybe we will, but it's that same thing in the banking vertical. What area do you absolutely have the best superpower of? And then double down, because then they're going to feel like you're speaking to them and you're going to be a lot more effective and differentiated from the competition that's trying to be a catch-all where we take care of anybody that's got a wallet and can, you know, bring us money. That's not a strategy.
Yeah, it's where you're outbound, where you like direct your outbound energy. Right. You're probably outbound marketing energy, right? You direct it to your niche, but that doesn't mean you can't, you know, help other folks as well.
Yep. Absolutely.
Eric, this has been truly awesome. A lot of great discussion and content here and thought processes for our listenership. I think that one of the things that I like about what we've discussed today is it's not necessarily the application to your institution, it's the application to you as a human. And what you're doing in your career and as a person. So I
absolutely.
And I love that.
Yeah.
Love that.
It's been juicy.
Yeah. There you go. There you go. Well, speaking of juicy, so as our guests come on, we like to run you through a lightning round here at the end and give us a little more insight into the brain works and interest of Eric. So
is there a filter?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe the mute button.
There we go. There we go.
Yeah. So, So Dan, can we, you want to run those, those by Eric, see what comes out?
Do it.
All right. Let it roll.
Yeah. So, first one, can you share a personal best or a business best? Something great that's happened to you?
I would say Probably a personal best would be when I did a self-directed fundraising bicycle race to raise money for neuroblastoma back when I was doing Christie's website. And I challenged myself to ride my mountain bike 100 miles in Michigan's first 100-mile mountain bike race. And I came across the finish line with $17,000 of donations raised over a year for the CDCF. And I was super proud and still remain super proud of that.
Amazing. Favorite book or other resource?
Oh, favorite book. I'm a huge podcast person, so I like listening to podcasts. But the Think Like a Brand, James Robert Lay's, I'm reading Millionaire Consulting right now by Alan Weiss, I think is his name. Those are good. But I would say if I were to go back and pick one, How to Win Friends and Influence People. Mm. I bought that book when I was struggling at the bank with one particular employee and just button heads. And somebody recommended that book. I bought it. And the relationship between her and I changed. And she didn't change. I did. And I fell in love with that book so much. I bought it for every single employee with my personal money in the bank. And I like to think most of them read it. But that's a book that I think everybody needs to have on their shelf and read at least once, if not once every year, just as a reminder of what makes people tick and how you can relate to them.
Awesome. What is the most impactful piece of advice you've received?
It kind of relates to what my father had said about people are going to want to see you as their banker, and to extend that further, but just being genuine in everything that you do, kind of beyond just thinking of a banker related. But just be your person and be comfortable in your skin and not try to be somebody that you're not to make somebody else happy, because you're both going to end up very disappointed when that stops happening, because it eventually will. So I would say that would be one. These are toughies. You guys are putting me through.
It'll make you think a little bit.
I know. I see that.
What is something you always tell your staff or your client? What's like the piece of advice you give outward the most?
Probably. They're coming to us because they see us as the experts. And just because they ask for something specific doesn't mean that that's what they really need. Mm. And we always need to take a step back. You know, even in the banking days, it's like, you know, everybody thinks they need a 30-year fixed rate mortgage. Well, not everybody needs a 30-year fixed rate mortgage. They think they need that because that's what their neighbor got and they're bragging about the rate and all this other stuff. But take the time to understand what's really behind the scenes and what they really need, and then delicately figure out a way to go, yeah, that could work, but here's another idea. And present it as a way of saying, this is really going to be a better fit for you and provide why, not because you want to sell them something. And even if it's a less expensive solution, you should offer that because that's the best thing for them, because then that's going to ensure long-term, they'll likely come back to you and you'll be able to monetize that relationship over the long haul. But not everything that people ask for is exactly what they need. It's our job to understand them. And if you can't, then you're not serving your customer the right way.
Yeah. And every client having some understanding and openness and willingness to that, I think I'm going to put that under my Christmas tree this year.
Yeah.
That would be.
At the end of the day, they'll still tell me, nope, yep, I want this. And I'm like, okay. And, you know, and I disclose that very early on, and I encourage our staff to do that as well, is I'm not a yes man. I'm not going to agree with everything that you tell me, but we're going to respectfully discuss why that may be the case down the road. And as long as you hear me out and I hear you out and we come to in an agreement to disagree, if that's what you want, we'll still do it. But you're hiring us, whether it's on the branding side or the agency side, because you feel we have a certain amount of expertise, and I'm not going to not share that information with you, because to not do that would be a disservice to you, and I'm not going to do that.
No. Cool.
All right, well, I've saved the hardest question for last.
Oh my gosh, dude, we're all hard. What are you talking about? At least it's the last one.
How can people learn more about the Link Banker? How can they get in touch with you?
Oh, that's a softball. You're joking me. I would love for you to go out to thelinkbanker.com, learn about what we do, go to the join area, we have two options. So $49 a month or $560 a year, which gets you a 5% discount. If you go with the monthly option, you get 60 days to kick the tires. And I always feel like somewhat of a cheesy Ron Popeil set it and forget it infomercial guy, but it's a 60-day money-back guarantee. And I've not figured out a better way to say that, but 2 months on us, basically. If you try it for 2 months, you sit in a couple of masterminds, you take a look at the learning center. If what's in there isn't worth $49 a month, then let me know. I'll give you your money back and we'll part as friends and we can stay together on newsletters or we can follow each other on LinkedIn. That's not happened yet. We do have options for banks that want to maybe bring in multiple people for even a deeper discount for three or more employees. We've got a couple of banks that have taken advantage of that. Or just find me on LinkedIn. I'm Eric Cook, MBA, because some other crafty little, you know what, snagged the Eric Cook username pre-2007. I thought I was early to the game. But so I'm Eric Cook, MBA, out there on LinkedIn, and I'm always sharing, posting content and giving away info, and would just love to connect with you and be sure that you heard me on the podcast so I can connect the dots. I always love it when that happens. Would just love any of those options. And I just really appreciate the opportunity to be on your show and to share my story. And hopefully it inspires, like you've continued to do through your 20 plus episodes, it inspires bankers to just try something new, even if they don't join the Link Banker or connect with me. I hope they've found something that they can take away and use in their career. So I appreciate it.
Super. Eric, man, it's been so great having you. It really has been insightful, informative, inspirational. Really do appreciate your time and your giving to us and what we're doing and passing this on to our listeners as well.
Absolutely. Really appreciate it. My pleasure.
Thanks for joining us. To go deeper or get access to some of the valuable nuggets from today's show, go to bankmarketingshow.com. There you'll find episodes, links to resources, and much more. Be sure to subscribe wherever you find your podcasts. And join us next time.